Welcome to the Claudio Relsano Show on claudiorelsano.com, brought to you by Aspire Pediatric Therapy and Roscoe Hearing and Allergy Care Center. Claudio will be speaking to sports legends from the 70s, 80s, and 90s about their careers, business, and what they're doing now. He will also hold roundtable discussions with some old friends about trending topics in the world of sports. And now, here's Claudio.
Hello, everyone, and thank you so much for tuning in to the Claudio Relsano Show, brought to you by Roscoe Hearing and Allergy Care Center and Aspire Pediatric Therapy. As always, I want to thank my producer, fantastic producer, Adam Zaloof, and Rick Mitchell for the introductions. Before we get on with today's great guest, I want to make a few book plugs. David Angeron of John Melvin Publishing has written a book, The Mental Training Guide for Elite Athletes, again by David Angeron. Go to mentalmastertraining.com. And David Finoli, an author of many, many books of Pittsburgh sports history. His latest is Breaking Barriers, The Chuck Cooper Story. You can get those books on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. And my book is going to be coming out sometime in October, probably middle to late October, Lead from the Heart Up, Not the Neck Up. You'll be able to get it on Amazon, on my website, and we're working on some other outlets like Barnes & Noble and Target and Walmart. So, of course, I will keep you posted on that. Today's guest is an authority expert on the Pittsburgh Pirates. He covers the Pirates for The Athletic, and that's Rob Biertemple. Rob, thank you so much for being on the show. I was excited to have you on. Thank you.
No problem, man. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good, brother. I'm doing pretty good. Fantastic. You know what? Before we get started, let me ask you, where are you originally from?
I'm a Northsider. I'm from the north side of Pittsburgh. Okay. Grew up there. Well, I spent like 2 years at Northside. Then we moved out to North Hills, but I still got the Northside accent, I guess. I went to North Catholic, a lot of North. Went to North Catholic, went to Penn State, moved to D.C. for a couple of years. And I've been back in Pittsburgh since 1994, covering a lot of bad baseball.
Well,
some good baseball, but a lot
yeah.
of bad baseball.
Well, the reason why I ask is because you've been around when the Pirates were one of the elite organizations. So let me ask you that. How hard has it been for you to see a once great front office, coaching staff, players that were either in the playoffs or contention every year in the 70s to kind of what it's developed into? How hard is that? Forget about professionally, but personally.
You know, one of my earliest memories of baseball is my mom and my grandma took me to a game. It was probably Ladies Day back when they did that, right. At Three River Stadium, Pirates and Braves. I must have been maybe the first season at Three Rivers, but the Pirates beat the snot out of Braves that day, and Roberto Clemente had just an amazing day. I don't remember. I wasn't a stat kid back then, so I can't tell you if he went 4-for-4 or whatever. But he had a great day. I felt two things coming out of that ballpark. I made a stop at the souvenir stand, and I got a Clemente photo. And one of those, they sold these little packs of like color photos, headshots of the players. And I had to have one that had Clemente. And I got an Atlanta Braves pennant because I felt so bad because the way Clemente had torn them apart that day. It was like the only Braves, you know, piece of memorabilia there. I still have the pennant. It's one of those old ones. And I still have that Clemente photo. And, you know, you go forward from there with, you know, the years of the Lumber Company and the World Series and then 79. And then I kind of fell away from baseball for a little bit, but then it got re-energized in the 80s when they stunk. But you could kind of see them coming back. And then the early 90s, and then I started covering the team, and I thought, well, you know, it'll just be a hiccup here. And it was 20 years.
A long hiccup.
Of losing. Yeah, it was more like a heart attack than a hiccup. It was bad. And, you know, finally they get back into a semblance of respectability, and people are talking about them. And now it's kind of right back where they were when we're talking about, do they need to blow up the roster? And we saw, I mean, last season was probably the worst experience I've ever had watching and covering a baseball team, top to bottom. The performance on the field, the stuff that went on in the clubhouse, the attitude and inactivity of the front office.
You're talking about the 2019 season.
The 2019 season, yes. We didn't. We had no idea what would lay in store for us in 2020. But last year was just awful. It was a year from hell. And I got through that season. I remember my wife saying, gosh, you just need, you need a break. I took like a week off and just kind of regenerated a little bit and thought, okay, let's get those juices flowing back into 2020. This year was bad, not bad in the same ways as last year, but a different kind of bad, I guess. Maybe it didn't sting so much because it was only 60 games.
Right.
And with everything else that's going on in the world, you know, a bad baseball team is the least of my worries. So it's, you know, nonetheless, it was still discouraging. I mean, I thought they'd win 25 games, 26, and to see them struggle to get to 19, it was, yeah, I can see why fans, you know, just become so totally disengaged. And you wonder if, you know, a generation of fans might turn and walk away again.
You know, a couple of things from your comments there. Number one, do you think, I've said this ad nauseum, but my first game I ever went to was August 19th, 1973. As a matter of fact, I'm looking at a poster and I have that month pulled up, and the poster is a, what is it? Remember that old lemonade blend? But anyway, they have Dave Justy, Steve Blassow, Oliver Sanghian, Gene Alley, Stargell, Cash, and Hebner, you know, but I know the date that I was at the game. I knew that that's what I wanted to do with the rest of my life. And then you tell your story about the, you know, Clemente game and buying the pennant and the posters. Yeah. Do you think the kids today will have that kind of a memory like you had and like I had?
Ah, man. Back then, the game is different. I mean, you know, now I remember last summer, or maybe the summer before that, being at a game with my daughters, and there was a delay, and my one daughter was like, "What are they doing?" I'm like, "Well, they're going to the replay." Why? Well, to see if when he stole second base, if his hand came off the bag and tagged him, and if he is, he's out, and then if he isn't, they could chat. It's just, and they're sitting there, and then I knew it was coming. They pulled out the phones, and that was it. And, you know, a lot of, you know, the game is better in a lot of ways. Players are better in a lot of ways, but the game is also worse off in a lot of ways. I don't think, I mean, I was talking, in the comments section, one of my stories, somebody mentioned that he was, you know, he scored all the games this year while he was watching at home. And I was like, thank God there are people who still do that, because, yeah. I mean, for me, I can't watch a game without scoring it.
Right.
I got to score the game to be able to really watch the game, to be into it and enjoy it. But, you know, when's the last time you were at a game anybody bought a scorebook, a scorecard? You know,
It seems like I guess, I don't know if this is the proper term, but like the innocence, I don't know if it's gone. Yeah. I don't know if the kids, like I said, we used to go early to watch batting practice. We still remember how this guy would warm up or whatever, you know, it's just different. And kids go today, and I'm not ripping on the kids today, but they do the pierogi races or which song do you want to hear and all that kind of stuff. And maybe it's good to take their mind off the game. I don't know. Maybe that's a good thing.
You can't watch BP. They won't let you in the park.
Yeah. That's,
you know, I see people lined up on the Clemente Bridge. They'd love to come in and watch BP. You can't.
I don't get that, but, did this season go, well, real quick, I do want to ask you. You said last year was hard on you. What was hard on you? I mean, what made it so difficult that you had to take a week off?
Well, I mean, it was, you know, we knew going in, it's not going to be a championship season, more than likely. And you just wonder how it's going to play out. And, you know, I knew that there was a chance, that management could turn over, that whether it was, you know, Hurdle or the front office, somebody could be fired. And you always wonder who's going to leave and whatnot and who's going to be traded and things like that. But then to see the way the players
fought,
there was no cohesion in the clubhouse,
right.
You know,
right.
The intangibles that you need to have. I think there was a little bit too, when they put together a team, there was a little bit too much attention paid to just the, you know, how do the numbers line up for this team, as opposed to how do the players line up against with each other in this, on this team. And you saw that. Nobody knew who could lead, who should lead. There weren't a lot of guys of experience or the personality to stand up and take charge. And then what happened was you had a little bit of anarchy. And that makes your life rough as a journalist because you start getting a sense that things are amiss. And, you know, and then you find out that they are. And I think the, you know, Clint Hurdle, you know, who's a good man. I like Clint.
Very good man.
I think he checked out before last season.
Okay.
I don't think his heart was in it anymore. I knew the front office was in trouble during Pirate Fest, right before the season.
Wow.
We're in the, whatever that's called. Is it still the Lexus Club? I don't remember what it's called anymore.
I think
so,
yeah.
Little club area kind of like underneath behind
the
plate.
Right.
They're doing a Q&A session with season ticket holders. Season ticket holders, these are the people who buy lots of tickets, who are invested emotionally, financially in this team. These are the last people you want to tick off. These are the last people you want to insult. One of them asks the question, it just doesn't seem to us like management really wants to win and win at all or any costs. And the response from the general manager was, I'm going to try to not be offended by your question.
Mm.
And I heard that, and I thought, he's done. The front office is done. It's not connecting with the fans. The fans are not connecting with them. And I wouldn't be surprised if the team follows, and it did. So you know, that emotional roller coaster of getting through that, covering that, trying to convey it to people. And you do have to walk a tightrope when you're a reporter because, I mean, you know, I'm in a normal season in a non-pandemic situation. I'm in that clubhouse every day. I go in there every day. I look those guys in the face. They look me in the face. And if they don't like something that I've written, they let me know about it. If they don't like, or if they do like something I've written, sometimes they let me know about that too, which is nice. And after I wrote the story about Keone Kella and Kyle Crick and the coaches who were involved in the altercations and the problems with Felipe Vasquez, you know, I knew it was not going to be an enjoyable night at the ballpark for me, and it wasn't. And you get through the shock of that, and then you have Vasquez being arrested. And, you know, it just was one thing after another.
Sure.
And it became a physical grind and a mental grind. And, man, I mean, I'm sure, you know, everybody's playing the world's smallest violin for me here. Because, but
no,
it just really was.
It's
a challenge.
Yeah,
it was stressful.
And it's funny because we're going to talk.
It wasn't just losing on the field. It was losing everywhere.
Right, losing off the field, right. And we're going to talk a little bit about the front office in a few minutes. But on that note, before we talk about the 2020 season, we're going to take a quick commercial break to hear from our sponsors, Roscoe Hearing and Allergy Care Center, Aspire Pediatric Therapy, Dom's Pizzeria and Sports Bar at 502 Cabot Avenue in Trafford, Pennsylvania. Call Dom at 412-372-3667. And criminal defense attorney Eric Jackson Lurie with offices located in downtown Pittsburgh and Fox Chapel. Call Eric at 412-963-9308. And another quick book plug, The Mental Training Guide for Elite Athletes by David Andron. Go to metalmastertraining.com. Breaking Barriers, The Chuck Cooper Story by David Finoli, Barnes & Noble on Amazon. And, of course, my book coming out sometime in mid-October, Lead from the Heart Up, Not the Neck Up. That will be on my website, Amazon. And we're going to try to get it on Barnes & Noble and some other avenues as well. We're right back with Rob Beertemple.
Why is it when I talk to my mom, she can't understand me? She gets so cranky and irritable.
Well, your mother's ears cannot understand speech sounds, and that leaves her trying to guess what you've said. This makes conversation exhausting for her.
Can we help her?
Yes, Julie. Once we improve her hearing, she'll be less frustrated and be able to enjoy talking with you again.
If your loved one needs help hearing and understanding, call the Roscoe Hearing Center at 814-375-0455.
Hearing solutions with the care you've been looking for.
Has your child been diagnosed with an autism spectrum or developmental issue? You're not alone. Aspire Pediatric Therapy has been helping families for over 10 years and has three convenient locations. Through love, laughter, and play, the Aspire team provides occupational speech and feeding therapy using the area's only state-of-the-art sensory motor gyms. Aspire will treat you and your family like family. Don't settle for less. Call 412-474-3566 or check them out on the web at AspirePediatricTherapy.com.
The law offices of Eric Jackson Lurie are available when you need him for all of your defense needs. Maybe it's a DUI, or maybe you found yourself in the wrong place at the wrong time. Whatever the scenario, the law offices of Eric Jackson Lurie are available 7 days a week. With a practice based throughout western Pennsylvania, the law offices of Eric Jackson Lurie are conveniently located in downtown Pittsburgh and Fox Chapel. When you or a loved one needs discreet, experienced legal representation, call Eric Jackson Lurie at 412-963-9308. That's 412-963-9308.
We want to welcome our newest sponsor, Dom's Pizzeria and Sports Bar, 502 Cavett Avenue in Trafford, Pennsylvania. Call 412-372-3667. Don Pecora, great guy, great food. Make sure you tell him we sent you.
Okay, Rob, the 2020 season, I didn't expect them to. I think the Vegas had 25 as an over and under. I did say under. But, you know, you look at the team and you look at guys. I did not think Reynolds was going to have a big year. I think he's, I just think he has a very inconsistent swing. Okay, we'll just leave it at that. Bell, Frazier, Moran. I mean, they had Polanco. At the beginning of the season, I still think Tucker can be something. But I don't know, and I'm just talking about offensively, I don't know if they have the right driver for the car. And I don't mean Shelton either. I'm talking about Eckstein. And I hate to criticize, but I've been at this for a lot of years, and I have a ton of confidence in myself as a hitting coach, not just as a manager or a head coach, but we're just being specific here as a hitting coach. And I see things that could be fixed. And I'm talking about in minutes. And I don't care what anybody says. It takes me a quarter of a second to see what the hell is wrong. And these guys see these players morning, noon, and night, and they're hitting – their batting averages are like a high school offensive line. Maybe not even. Junior high offensive line. And – that's been my big criticism of the 2020 Pirates. But did you think that they were going – and the pitching staff, obviously. But did you think they were going to have a better year? You said 19 wins. I mean, what were your thoughts going into it and then after the season was over?
I thought it was especially with the new front office and the new coaching staff, I thought this was going to be like a year of evaluation. I didn't expect it to happen in some of the ways that it did. I didn't expect them to take a guy who for years was their number one shortstop prospect and play him pretty much exclusively in the outfield after he had never played before in his life, even going back to Little League. I didn't expect to see so much of guys like JT Riddle, early on Phil Evans, although Evans played very well. I just don't know if those guys are their future. To a degree, I mean, there were some injuries that dictated things. Jose Osuna got a lot of PT down the end, but there were so many injuries, guys knocked out of, lost Tucker and Polanco wasn't playing well. And it just, it became a situation where you had to put him out there, even though I really get the sense he's not a long-term fit for this club. I'm not surprised, though, that we did see a lot of different guys, especially on the pitching side. I'm happy that they finally brought up Ke'Bryan Hayes. I thought coming into the season that Ke'Bryan, would fit at the big league level. I mean, he certainly seemed poised and confident and ready in spring training. And I know that's just spring training, but I would talk to evaluators at the ballpark in Bradenton, and they would say they just saw something a little bit different in him. I think maybe Neil Huntington, a little bit of a fire under Ke'Bryan last year when he didn't call him up in September,
right?
When the rosters expanded. And I think Neil took some heat from me and from others about that. But I like to think maybe that Neil knew what he was doing there and did that for that exact reason, to kind of inspire Ke'Bryan a little bit to really come at it with a vengeance this year. And he did. So I thought with all those factors in play, it would be hard for them, you know, to really contend, you know, for anything this season. And I figured that whatever wins they would get would be gravy. But I didn't think that, you know, that we would see some of the real, just really bad struggles. Like you mentioned, the offense. I mean, yeah, it's only 60 games, but it was a team wide, up and down the lineup. Nobody really hit acceptably. I mean, you know, Eric Gonzalez had some spurts, but he still finished at what, like 230 something, right, or 240 something. Jacob Stallings had a higher slugging percentage than Josh Bell.
Yeah.
I saw that today on Baseball Reference. I blinked and scrubbed my eyes and looked again and turned away and looked back. And yeah, the numbers didn't change. So that's a thing that really happened in a season. So, I hope that, you know, that they came out of this with a better sense of who fits where. It stinks for them that they don't have a minor league season to be able to get a grip on how those guys, what they can do and how they can fit and how soon they can fit. They tried to do what they could in Altoona with the satellite camp, but you know, those weren't real games. You know, I was talking to some people there, and it was kind of hard on the hitters, especially because you just don't have that same adrenaline. You know, the way a guy feels when you step at the plate, when something big is on the line, is so much different than when you're just in a cage. So pitchers can, you know, can replicate with sim games and bullpens and whatnot. But for hitters, it really was, to a big degree, a lost season. And that, you know, you wonder what that's going to do to the franchise in the near term. Some of these guys that they have, a lot of their better talent is in the lower level of the minors. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a lot of those guys didn't get to Altoona this summer for the satellite camp. And I would hope they have a lot of them down in Bradenton now for the pseudo instructional league that they're running. But even that, the plan right now is to maybe get some games going here in a couple of weeks in mid-October and get some of those situations going. But, you know, a couple of guys get sick or test positive and those plans could be thrown in the hopper. So
you
have to wait and see and hold your breath a little bit.
Now, going into the 2021 season, what do you expect? Do you expect pretty much the same teams coming back, or is there going to be a lot of moves? What do you think?
I think there's going to be some turnover just because Chris Archer's up. He has an option, $11 million option. I can't see them picking that up. He hasn't been effective. He's an older guy. He's coming off a pretty significant surgery. Kella is gone as a free agent. You would think Derek Holland will leave as a free agent. Polanco has one guaranteed year left, and they probably won't be able to trade him this winter, so he'll start the year there. They've got, 20 guys, I believe, who are arbitration eligible. And it's a lot. It's a lot of guys. And this year, I remember back when the season started in late July, talking to other reporters, talking to Kenny Rosenthal, who's the guy that writes for us at The Athletic.
Sure.
There was a sense that we might see more non-tenders this year than in a normal year, just because teams are trying to, everybody took a financial hit because of this, in a lot of different ways. And if there are guys who maybe ordinarily would just go to arbitration with and take the outcome and go from there, maybe now you non-tender a guy like that and either try to re-sign him at a lower rate or get somebody else who also has been non-tendered at a lower rate. And, you know, a guy like Trevor Williams, who really has scuffled for 2 years now, he's in his second of 3 years of ARB. And that's when, the money starts to get real. And maybe the Pirates don't want to take a risk of having to shell out $4, $5, $6 million on a guy like Trevor, who, has really not been the same guy since the second half of 2018. A guy like Jose Osuna, maybe he gets non-tendered. I don't think they non-tender Bell or Frazier, but I think those are two guys that they look to trade this winter and see what they can get. A similar deal to maybe what they kind of got for Marte, where you had two lower level guys, but who have some pretty good upside, looking again, aiming 4 or 5 years down the line. So I think we'll see some turnover. Not a ton. I think a lot of what you saw this year is what you're going to get next year. I don't see them running out and spending money on the free agent market. And you wonder, just because of the weird economics and all the uncertainty, even about next year, you wonder if there will be a lot of trades executed just because, you know, teams and GMs just don't know.
You know, you might, again, you might think I'm crazy, but I mentioned some guys, the Morans, the Stallings, and Polanco, Reynolds, Frazier, Bell. And then you mentioned the pitching. Williams and Musgrove, they have good stuff. I mean, Musgrove has a lot of good stuff. And yeah. It is very frustrating to see that they're not winning games. And or they're even Brault. I mean, Brault will pitch a two hitter, then he'll get shellacked, then he'll pitch a four hitter, then he'll pitch a seven hitter for four innings, then he'll get shellacked. There's no consistency. I still think, and maybe I'm nuts, I don't know. I still think that with some work, with proper work, not just work, that they could be much better. Now, over 162 games, am I saying 80 wins? Geez, no, I'm not saying that, but they could have been a hell of a lot better. And another thing, they didn't have an identity. I mean, if I told you right now, 1982 Cardinals, you know, you'd know exactly what there you go. or the old Baltimore Orioles, you know, three-run homers, or the Atlanta Braves and their dynasty. You think about the pitching staff. I mean, the Pirates didn't have power. They didn't play small ball. They didn't have a big pitching staff. And I think that they do have to develop a game plan where this is our identity. I think that that's leads into the front office, which leads into my next question. I'll be 56 in a couple weeks. And I was fortunate enough. And as my audience has heard, my uncle used to work at Three River Stadium at the Allegheny Club. And I used to go to the games every Sunday around 10 o'clock in the morning. I'd have breakfast with Mr. O'Toole. Joe O'Toole was the vice president of the Pirates. Mr. Brown, Joel Brown, a little bit later on, Pete Peterson. I would just shut up and just listen. And those guys, yes, they were, quote, suits, okay? But they knew the game. They knew the game. I remember when they were going to pick up Bill Robinson. They were talking about this guy from McKeesport, Pennsylvania, and he could play first. Left field. He can even play a little bit of third base. He can play right field. He's got a and I'm just listening to these guys, right? But they knew the game. Sid Thrift, who I only met one time, Rob, but he wrote a great book years ago called The Game According to Sid. Unbelievable book. Unbelievable book. Those guys knew the game. So my question to you is, what is the difference between, I'm not asking you to insult anybody or anything like that, but what do you see is the difference between the guys I just mentioned from the 70s and 80s, the front office guys from the 70s and 80s, to the front office people now?
Boy, so much of it now. Well, I mean, I want to say so much of it. I mean, it's more about what you can measure and not just with, like, you know, a stopwatch or a yardstick in that, but all those data points. I mean, you know, they track every step a player takes on the field. They you know, and so much of the technology is good, but I think, and we really saw that. That's why last year, I think, stuck with me so much, is there were a lot of tangibles that team had, you know, that they would find, you know, they would look for bullpen arms that would complement each other in different ways, throwing styles, pitch arsenal, that kind of thing, to try to come up with a good bullpen. But it just didn't click as a unit because they didn't take into account guys being miffed about their roles or their usage, or guys being miffed just about how one guy is the closer, so he can take a nap before the game, but I got to be out here catching fly balls during BP or something. Personalities and just the way the things fit, I don't think were as much taken into consideration. And I think back then, there was some more heft given to things like that because so many other tangible things of our guy's skill set weren't able to be measured yet. And things such as the intangibles, which you could see and feel, were. They just came up in conversations more often. Now, not so much. And, you know, I'm not saying that's necessarily a bad thing because, you know, the analytics have done a lot of good things with the game and have made a lot of good teams even better. you look those Pirates years, you know, the last three times they were in the wild card, those were teams that were measurably better because they did little things that set them apart and the things that they were able to measure. But back in the day, now I sound like the 55-year-old sports writer that I am, but back in the day, it was more about, you know, this guy here is, he's just, I mean, you looked at that those Pirates teams in the 70s, and you didn't care about the spin rates.
Exactly.
Or the launch angle, pitch counts, or the exit velocity. You knew Dave Parker and Willie Stargell were going to kick your butt.
Exactly.
And they might be down six runs in the eighth inning, but that was just going to honk them off, and they were going to work even harder to kick your butt. They weren't going to worry about whether they're going to have a pitch count or how rested they'll be for maybe they'll have to take Sunday off. No, they're just going to go out there and going to try to kill you. And that
exactly
isn't there sometimes now.
Yeah, you know, the couple stories that hit me, and I think you'll appreciate them. And again, this is no knock on anybody. This is just what it is. Years ago, remember Mike Rambo Diaz?
I just talked to him a couple months ago.
Oh, really? Okay. Well, there's a story about him. He was struggling, striking out, flying open, pulling off the ball. Sid Thrift comes down to the field, the general manager, mm-hmm. with his cardigan sweater and his Southern drawl, and he says, Mike, he said very simply, from now on, your field is left center field to right field. See you later. That was it. And that helped Mike Diaz hit better. I don't see any of the general managers today going on a field and telling a player that. They might say your exit velo, which I hate all those abbreviations. Velo is this, and your spin rates that, and so on and so forth. So you won't see that. And another thing for damn sure you're not going to see, and I know you remember this, I believe it was Labor Day, I'm pretty sure, against the Phillies, when Steve Nicosia went 4-for-4, and they're against the Phillies, as I said, and mm-hmm. Tug McGraw, who was a left-handed pitcher, is facing a right-handed batter. Steve Nicosia was 4-for-4, bases loaded. The Pirates, I believe, were down 3, I think, and this is in 79. Chuck Tanner pinch hits Steve Nicosia with the left-hander, John Milner. And yep. What does Milner do? He hits a grand slam. So then, you know, they asked Tanner, you know, why would you do something like, he said, number one, Tug McGraw threw a screwball, which by putting a lefty in takes that pitch out. Number two, when the hell does Steve Nicosia ever go 5-for-5? You know, so, but you won't see that now because all they do is numbers by analytics. They don't know if a guy's flying open or if he's, like I said, in Reynolds' case, watch Reynolds. I think he has some ability to be a nice hitter, but watch, especially when he's left-handed, that front foot, it's never consistent. It's tapping early or it's not tapping. And he's the swing isn't bad. Like, his body isn't bad. He keeps closed. Mm-hmm. His head's good. He has good extension. It's just that timing thing. And you just said minutes ago, they know how many steps you take in the ballpark. Why that can't be fixed drives me nuts. Which leads into my next thing. What are you looking for, again, as far as you know, if they play 162 games, what would you consider a nice season for them in 2021? I know that's hard to answer because you don't know who's going to be back and who they're going to get. But
yeah, but I think
give us some hope.
In general, so I think they could. I think they. Gosh, if they could get within like 10 games of 500, they get 72-ish. I would consider that a step forward in a lot of ways.
Yeah,
it would depend. It depends on, and I think too, some of it, it's funny because I wrote this last year that they really had a win. It was right before Huntington was fired. I put, he really knew Huntington has to kind of always kind of laughed at the notion of people saying you got to win the off season, but he really did have to win the off season last year just because of all the problems they had. And then of course, he never got the chance. I think in a way, Ben Sherrington, to whatever degree he can, has to win this winter as well. And whether, you know, because you know he's going to, you know, try to deal a couple of guys. He just needs it. It's so much more difficult just seeing them for 60 games, not seeing other teams' minor leaguers. You have previous scouting reports, but you know how much guys can jump. in a year, and especially if you're making a jump from, you know, from gosh, from even from high A to double, it's a leap for some guys, and you can see a lot of growth or you can see a lot of regression. So not having those gut feelings and just having eyes on your guys as well as other teams' guys, it's going to make that more difficult. But I think if they can overcome that, if they can make the right moves, not give up the wrong pieces at the wrong time. And that's another thing that I was just talking to you today with Steve Nesbitt, who also writes for us. And he says, doesn't it seem that in so many instances, the Pirates have made the trades previously at the wrong time. They let go of the guy at the wrong time, year or two past when they should have, or a year or two before they should have. You know, what if they had held on to Gerrit Cole, and he had started to blossom a little bit more, then you deal him.
Or like they say about the Patriots, they know just when to get rid of a guy.
Yeah.
Whereas the Pirates seem not to. Yeah.
Yeah. So I would have, it's an early, early prediction, but, if they can get 72, I think a lot of people would take that.
Oh, yeah.
I think that would be a pretty big step forward, especially considering just the depth that they went to this year and the fact that you look at their outfield and it's Brian Reynolds and Polanco, and put a bunch of names in a hat and pull one out.
Right.
For your third outfielder.
Right.
And you don't know how that infield mix is going to go. I think maybe we'll see Newman, we could see Newman at second and Gonzalez at short to open the season. If Gonzalez can't keep up what he did in a very short spurt this year, you got Newman going back, where you maybe have Kotuck going to short. I think we could see Frazier in left field. A good amount if things get that desperate. If they need to come up with an outfielder, a bona fide, not Lonnie Chisenhall, not Jared Dyson. They need to come up with a bona fide major league outfielder.
You're scratching some scabs there for people. I still think that Tucker can be a big time shortstop. I really do. I think he could be. I think he has, I've told my friends, I think he has star written all over him. There's a few adjustments he has to make offensively, and I think he can be big time. But, I got to ask you this before we go into our final commercial break and bring you back for another minute. You know what's driving me nuts since this season started, and I've never seen it this blatant, and that is the framing of pitches. I get the framing of pitches, but it's getting ridiculous how far that they're flicking that wrist up, and the umpires are calling strikes. I don't blame the catchers, but when the hell did it get so bad? I've never seen it this bad before.
Well, think about this too. Who are the two guys on the field that are going to come in the closest quarters for the most extended period? It's your home plate umpire and your catcher.
Right.
And a lot of umps put their hand on the guy's on shoulder or something to kind of steady themselves or whatever. I'm sure, and a lot of these umps are older. I'm sure you see some of these guys setting up differently than they did before. Maybe they're leaning back. Maybe their feet are, not a full step, but a half step.
All right, I didn't think of that. Yeah.
And I just wonder, and especially a guy, because we saw it so much with Stallings. Well, he would catch a ball, pull a ball out of the dirt and bring it up and get the call.
Well, they signed that guy, that catcher who got hurt. They said, sometimes when you sign a guy, he can hit, he can throw, he can run. They say he frames the ball well. Well, hell, maybe they were right. Maybe that is a good thing.
Yeah. So, a guy as big as Stallings who can hide the ball a little bit, and then if the umpire is out of his normal, his comfort zone, maybe it's just, that's just a theory, that
I didn't think of that.
I've been bouncing around people, but... But, either that or just catchers are finally wising up.
But that's a good theory. That's why you're Rob Beer Temple and I'm not. That's a great theory. But we're going to take our final quick commercial break here from our great sponsors, Roscoe Hearing and Allergy Care Center, Aspire Pediatric Therapy, criminal defense attorney Eric Jackson-Lurie with offices located in downtown Pittsburgh and Fox Chapel. Call Eric at 412-963-9308 and Dom's Pizzeria and Sports Bar, 502 Cabot Avenue in Trafford, Pennsylvania. Call Dom at 412-372-3667. Right back with the Athletics Pirates writer, Rob Beer Temple.
Why is it when I talk to my mom, she can't understand me? She gets so cranky and irritable.
Well, your mother's ears cannot understand speech sounds, and that leaves her trying to guess what you've said. This makes conversation exhausting for her.
Can we help her?
Yes, Julie. Once we improve her hearing, she'll be less frustrated and be able to enjoy talking with you again.
If your loved one needs help hearing and understanding, call the Roscoe Hearing Center at 814-375-0455.
Hearing solutions with the care you've been looking for.
Has your child been diagnosed with an autism spectrum or developmental issue? You're not alone. Aspire Pediatric Therapy has been helping families for over 10 years and has three convenient locations. Through love, laughter, and play, the Aspire team provides occupational speech and feeding therapy using the area's only state-of-the-art sensory motor gyms. Aspire will treat you and your family like family. Don't settle for less. Call 412-474-3566 or check them out on the web at aspirepediatrictherapy.com.
The law offices of Eric Jackson Lurie are available when you need it for all of your defense needs. Maybe it's a DUI, or maybe you found yourself in the wrong place at the wrong time. Whatever the scenario, the law offices of Eric Jackson Lurie are available 7 days a week. With a practice based throughout western Pennsylvania, the law offices of Eric Jackson Lurie are conveniently located in downtown Pittsburgh and Fox Chapel. When you or a loved one needs discreet, experienced legal representation, call Eric Jackson Lurie at 412-963-9308. That's 412-963-9308.
We want to welcome our newest sponsor, Dom's Pizzeria and Sports Bar, 502 Cavett Avenue in Trafford, Pennsylvania. Call 412-372-3667. Dom Pecora, great guy, great food. Make sure you tell him we sent you.
Okay, Rob, we are going to go into our Eric Jackson Lurie final word. And that is this year, your prediction for this year's World Series teams and a winner.
Winner, chicken dinner. Give me the Los Angeles Dodgers because they're overdue. And this year, they just beat up everybody. And they're loaded, and they got pitching, and they got pitching that most people, like I was talking with a player today, and he said, don't sleep on a guy like Dustin May. I'm like, Dustin May? Just a second-year guy. Brings it 100 miles an hour, a hard sinker, and he's their number three. So, I like the Dodgers. And from the American League, I like the Dodgers winning it all. And coming out of the American League to lose in six or seven games in the World Series, I'm not going to go far from what most people say. I'm going to take the Tampa Bay Rays.
Wow.
I just love what they do.
Okay.
As much as sometimes I like roll my eyes at the analytics, they're a team, their franchise that has really used that stuff to their advantage. It seems like a scout mentioned this the other day to me on the phone, and we're laughing because it's so true. When's the last time they made a bad trade, a bad waiver wire pickup, bad DFA move, a bad anything? I mean, they make even tiny little trades that are so insignificant at the time, they pull something great out of it.
Sure.
And that's just it's a gift. It's a knack, and they've been doing it. And unfortunately they're doing it now with Austin Meadows and Tyler.
Right. Yeah. Right. I was going to say that. I like the Dodgers. Although I don't think they're going to win. I don't have a whole lot of confidence in Roberts or Kershaw, to be honest with you, in the postseason. Mm-hmm. And the American League, for some reason, I want to say the Yankees, but for some reason, I keep thinking Oakland. I don't know why, but so certainly don't bet on that. But I'm thinking LA from the National League. I like to see the Marlins, to be honest with you, but that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
I think Dodgers and either Oakland or Yankees, and I'm not quite sure yet. But so where can people read your great work, Rob?
Well, you can get me at the Athletics website, which is just www.theathletic. And if you can follow me on Twitter, it's just at Rob Beer Temple. It's a real long German name. And and every day, whenever I have stories go up on the website, I post links to them on Twitter as well. And that's the easiest way, probably just to click on that link and boom, you're right in. And we're running a special now. It's $1 a month. Because, it's that post, that that pandemic special, I guess everybody heard financially. So we're running a couple of months special, but yeah, that's the easiest way to find it.
All right, Rob, it was a real pleasure. I met you, I think, a year and a half ago on Ed Skirditch's TV show at PCTV. Yeah, Eric, Ed's a great guy. And I've always been a fan of yours, love reading your work. And I was really excited to have you on, and thank you for being on, and would love to have you on again one of these days.
Yeah, just say the word. I'll pop back. No problem. Right. This was a lot of fun.
All right, brother. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Take care, man.
All right, you too. Okay, everybody. Hope you enjoyed that. I certainly did. I was, like I said, he's been on my list to have on as a guest, and he did not disappoint, that's for sure. As always, want to thank Rick Mitchell for the introductions and the outros, and my great producer, Adam Zaloof. We have a bunch of great guests coming up on the show. I appreciate you guys listening. You can listen to the show at ClaudioRalsano.com, iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Podbean. And always thank our sponsors, Roscoe Hearing and Allergy Care Center, Aspire Pediatric Therapy, Dom's Pizzeria and Sports Bar at 502 Cabot Avenue in Trafford, Pennsylvania. Call Dom at 412-372-3667. Criminal defense attorney Eric Jackson Lurie with offices located in downtown Pittsburgh and Fox Chapel. Call Eric at 412-963-9308. And again, the book plugs, The Mental Training Guide for Elite Athletes by David Angeron. Go to mentalmastertraining.com. It's a great book for parents, coaches, and players. Breaking Barriers, The Chuck Cooper Story by David Fanoli. And there's a ton of books out there from David about Clemente, about the Pirates, and the numbers of the Pirates, number 1, 2, 3, number 21. He's a great author. Enjoy reading his work. And then my book will be coming out in October, mid-October to late October, Lead from the Heart Up, Not the Neck Up. You can get that book on my website, Amazon, and we're looking to get it in Barnes & Noble, Target, and Walmart as well. But I hope you guys enjoy that book. And as always, want to thank my mom and dad. Talk to you guys soon.
Thank you for listening to The Claudio Rossano Show, brought to you by Aspire Pediatric Therapy and Roscoe Hearing and Allergy Care Center. Be sure to tune in next time on ClaudioRalsano.com.
When I talk to my mom, she can't understand me. She gets so cranky and irritable.
Well, your mother's ears cannot understand speech sounds, and that leaves her trying to guess what you've said. This makes conversation exhausting for her.
Can we help her?
Yes, Julie. Once we improve her hearing, she'll be less frustrated and be able to enjoy talking with you again.
If your loved one needs help hearing and understanding, call the Roscoe Hearing Center at 814-375-0455.
Hearing solutions with the care you've been looking for.
Has your child been diagnosed with an autism spectrum or developmental issue? You're not alone. Aspire Pediatric Therapy has been helping families for over 10 years and has three convenient locations. Through love, laughter, and play, the Aspire team provides occupational speech and feeding therapy using the area's only state-of-the-art sensory motor gyms. Aspire will treat you and your family like family. Don't settle for less. Call 412-474-3566 or check them out on the web at aspirepediatrictherapy.com.
The law offices of Eric Jackson Lurie are available when you need him for all of your defense needs. Maybe it's a DUI, or maybe you found yourself in the wrong place at the wrong time. Whatever the scenario, the law offices of Eric Jackson Lurie are available 7 days a week. With a practice based throughout western Pennsylvania, the law offices of Eric Jackson Lurie are conveniently located in downtown Pittsburgh and Fox Chapel. When you or a loved one needs discreet, experienced legal representation, call Eric Jackson Lurie at 412-963-9308. That's 412-963-9308.
We want to welcome our newest sponsor, Dom's Pizzeria and Sports Bar, 502 Cabot Avenue in Trafford, Pennsylvania. Call 412-372-3667. Dom Pecora, great guy, great food. Make sure you tell him we sent you.